Industrials up 280 points. Jason Walker, IRN USA Radio News.
Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day, coming to you live Saturday night, June 12th, 2010. We got John DiNardo on the line, but before we go to him, I want to play my newest soundbite that I made here about 5 days ago. It's pretty good. By the way, tomorrow's my birthday, folks. I'll be 39 tomorrow, for whatever that's worth. Anyway, me and John have some interesting territory to cover here after the soundbite, so... Please enjoy the soundbite, and then I'll be back.
Some of the Google searches. First Google search, CIA and the word Denver. Now, you'll find the CIA's press releases dating back to 2005 that they're moving from Langley, Virginia, 85 feet above sea level, to the Mile High City. If you read the current press releases, they say simply, for operational reasons. Rebecca, they're not even telling their own people why.
This past week, four comets came into the sun and crashed into it.
And because we like to at least try to end the day, if not the week, with some good news, while it was a little tough this week, we found something. It was bad news for Jupiter, actually. Look at this loop of video shot by an amateur astronomer. It shows Jupiter getting hit by what was a massive fireball, apparently an asteroid or a comet, attempting to enter our solar system. Now, where's the good news here? As one astronomer put it, quote, Jupiter took one for the team, helping life on Earth evolve without too many impact events to ruin our day. So these days, we'll take our good news wherever we can find it.
Building the Denver airport and spending all that money. I mean, they're still working on that Denver airport 17 years later, and it typically takes about 2 years to build an airport, and they're still working on that thing.
When looking at an aerial shot of the new airport, the layout has shocked many. Denver Airport's runways have been situated in such a way that resembles a Nazi swastika.
You see, when Charles F. Richter developed the Richter scale, he died around 1984. The powers that be knew what would be happening 25 years in the future, which is right now, which was more earthquakes and more severe earthquakes. And they wanted to keep people asleep. So they did that one full number downgrade, which is 1,000%. Thank you.
Last week, an avocado-sized rock crashed through the roof of a doctor's office in Virginia. The rock was traveling somewhere around 200 miles per hour. But what about the big ones? The ones that could wipe out a whole city? Or worse, the planet?
There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. The astronomy community is not going to tell you about impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. We know there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
There may be a faint light in the sky tomorrow if you know where to look. And if astronomers are right and the planet Earth has a very close encounter with a foreign object that goes well, we'll all be all right. What the experts think is a particular type of asteroid is going to come within 80,000 miles of Earth. In space terms, that's close. It's only about a third of the way from here to the moon. But they assure us it won't hit the planet.
What's going to happen is this whole structure is going to fall apart into utter and total chaos. The ruling elite are going to go underground and wait it out while everybody up here just kills each other off. Then they'll come back up and establish a despotism, and you will be ruled like the Lodge rules its members.
If you watched Barry Satoro, a.k.a. the president, he made his case to NASA workers in Florida on Thursday for abandoning plans to return to the moon, and instead, we need to aim for asteroids.
Going to take you on a journey to the end of the Earth. To show you a place that might someday save humankind. It's a bank built to last 10,000 years.
If you could clear away the ice, you'd see that officially the bank is called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It's built to warehouse backup copies of all the world's crops, 1.5 billion seeds. If an asteroid strikes the Earth, seeds to restart agriculture would come from here. Norway paid for construction, Bill Gates paid for the shipping, and seeds from nearly every nation are locked inside.
We have the dwarf star returning below the ecliptic, that there's nothing living on it. It's a dead dwarf star that never ignited into a star. We're not talking about the return of the Nephilim. Believe me, whatever beings are visiting or have been here and have been meddling with our world have never gone away. They've always been here.
It is a brown dwarf star. It is either a small star or it is a big planet.
Its gravitational fields of Planet X, or one of its thousands of surrounding comets also, the magnetic field of that passing space body will lock up magnetically and also gravitationally with Earth.
Another thing that will happen is if the Earth turns ever so slightly as it's rotating, winds will pick up all over the planet. And in some belts, those winds will achieve speeds of 200, 300 miles an hour, for sustained speeds of 200 to 300 miles an hour for days. This will require you to be either in a slot canyon, underground in the shelter, concrete preferably, or somewhere out of those winds in a structure that will withstand winds of that speed.
Well, hello, folks. There's the end of the soundbite. We have John DiNardo on the line now, and we're going to get right down to dirty business here on the Gulf Oil mega disaster of biblical proportions. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Sheldon. Thanks very much.
Go ahead. I forgot to plug something out. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Sheldon. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for hanging on, John.
You're welcome.
Yeah, go ahead. So can you tell our audience what's really going on down there in the Gulf of Mexico and how this connects to the incoming passage of what me and you believe is Planet X?
Well, very few people actually know for sure what's going on, but there's a great deal of speculation, and we can connect it to some information that I have received in the past. And that is, you had read, I believe, earlier in the broadcast about information that was given to me by a friend who was in the military in the Persian Gulf War, and he has a friend who works for the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, about at least 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, my friend told me that his friend in the U.S. Geological Survey was among a team that was doing surveying in the Gulf of Mexico for oil, because the ruling elite who control our government and the corporations saw this as a great opportunity for oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, since they had detected that land masses would be rising out of the bed of the Gulf of Mexico. This was 3 to 4 years ago. And it seems like that information is now seems to be connecting with what we see happening right now with the drilling that's going on, the oil drilling feverishly and frantically being done by many nations, the oil companies of many nations. It's like a huge party that they've been having, drilling oil out of there. I suspect that the reason so many nations were eager to go in there and extract the oil was because the pressure was building beneath the seabed such that it was very easy to get the oil out, and thus very economical to get it out. And now the U.S. government probably knew they were in a situation of danger, but you know what, greed overcame their sense of caution. And they figured they wanted to get that oil. They had to get that oil. And despite the dangers that existed of some kind of rupture in the seabed, well, now we see that rupture occurring. We hear reports from numerous respectable sources, such as Lindsay Williams, that there are multiple fissures and cracks all over the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico right now. And it looks like the pressure is building to the point where we're also seeing now, mixed in with the oil, other substances. And this is kind of worrisome. We have reports of some kind of reddish substance coming out in addition to the oil. So it looks like they may have hit a magma chamber underneath the seabed. They have drilled very deeply. I don't have all the information. You know, only a few people really are privy to the real information. And so all I can do is speculate, but I think they've got deep down where they hit something very dangerous. And we have a report from Dr. James Wickstrom. You've probably read it.
Oh, yeah.
Where he has the same belief that there's going to be a collapse. Because what they've done is extracted a tremendous amount of oil from underneath the seabed, and this has created a huge cavity. Now, whenever you have a cavity, pressures above it, the water pressing down from a mile depth a tremendous pressure is going to force the water down below the seabed into that cavity, where it will be superheated by the magma below it, such that to the point where the water will boil. And of course, we know that steam is about the most powerful force that we know of. We use steam and to produce energy, to produce electrical energy.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Also, keep in mind, we have at least Senator Bill Nelson out of Florida reporting that there's multiple fissure locations where this stuff is seeping out. And I also wanted you to know, I did play a part of that Lindsay Williams soundbite before I brought you on.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that sort of, reinforces our speculation that there indeed is pressure building below the seabed. So, and we can expect a steam-driven explosion beneath the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. I think that there's a strong possibility that this will happen in the near future. We see evidence surrounding that and also reinforcing that speculation, and that is that the government is moving in. We're getting a lot of sources saying that the government is moving in evacuation forces. Also, many evacuation vehicles were sighted by Google Maps. We saw it on YouTube. Somebody had displayed a YouTube Google Maps video of what they estimated to be about 4,000 UN vehicles. These look like mass movement vehicles.
Oh yeah, parked along that airstrip. I've seen that.
Right, on the airstrip and on the runways of an airport near Jacksonville, Florida. I'm sorry, not an airport, but a U.S. Air Force base. And of course, we see troops going down there, and now we get a report of 30 SWAT teams going down to the Gulf of Mexico. And what the SWAT teams are for, I don't know. I mean, what kind of nefarious purpose would they have there? It's one thing to expect them to have troops to help to evacuate people and to take them away from the possibility of a tsunami catastrophe, but it's another thing to have SWAT teams down there. That is, it's somewhat infuriating to know about that if it's true.
Oh, John, before I brought you on, I also played a soundbite of nationally syndicated talk show host Mike Levine. He talked about these SWAT teams that were dispatched down to the Gulf back on April 30th, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I read, too. Mike Levine, is he the one? There's a Michael Levine who was a former DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency officer.
He's the guy that sounds like this when he's talking, that guy.
Oh, I don't know. That must be a different Mike Levine because this guy has deeper voice.
Well, this guy served under the former Reagan administration at some position I can't remember.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we're getting corroborating voices saying, you know, repeating the same stories about many SWAT teams and about evacuation troops. So all this information is beginning to converge to show us that there is a great danger whenever something, there's a traumatic explosion underneath a huge body of water like the Gulf of Mexico. You can expect a tsunami. I mean, it's a given that you're going to have a tsunami. And the catastrophe, this would be the greatest catastrophe in the history of the United States. For that tsunami wave, which Dr. Wickstrom estimates to be, would be about 60 to 80 feet. It's not an underestimation at all to consider it to be 60 or 80 feet, because remember, with a undersea earthquake-driven tsunami, such as the one that occurred in Asia at Christmas of 2004 around near Sri Lanka and Thailand. Well, that was due to a massive earthquake where the two tectonic plates shifted one below the other and caused a displacement of water. And that caused a tsunami, which I think they underestimated to be like 30 feet in height when it hit land, but it was actually more like 50 feet, which I read later on. Well, this tsunami, because of its explosive, it would be driven by an explosion in the Gulf of Mexico, the one we suspect may happen in the near future. That would probably generate a much higher wave, maybe not much higher, but certainly probably higher. We expect 80 feet, maybe even higher.
John?
Yes.
I wanted to clarify from what I read here off of Jeff Renz's site, there were some scientists that put a post that it would be anywhere from 20 to 80 feet.
Yeah. So they have no idea, because that's a pretty bit broad range, 20 to 80 feet. Whatever it would be, you know, they'd have to get people away from that coast. And of course, not only the tsunami, but the dangerous toxins that are raining over the area, and with the hurricanes coming this season, it's imperative that people be evacuated from there. I don't know what else I could say. Well, I guess there are other connections that we can draw there. But this is an immediate crisis. It's a major crisis. However, it's only one of many myriad of crises that are on the horizon right now. People don't realize it, but we've got to start connecting these clues. That is, the rising oceans, the buckling of the seabeds, the pressures underneath in the Gulf of Mexico. We see a similar situation in the Coral Sea on the other side of the world. So let us start to realize that we're going to see more, or we may see more, of these bulging seabeds around the world. And the cause of it would be this massive brown dwarf star that has been documented, proven by so many different sources to exist and to be moving into our solar system.
Oh, John?
Yes.
That reminds me, did you get a chance to watch that MSNBC video of Brian Williams reporting on the fireball that slammed into Jupiter 8 days ago?
I heard the soundtrack from it.
Oh, okay.
That you had put out. Very good. I mean, it was a terrific find. Because, he's one thing he did say in there, which was really important, was that it was from a comet. They believe it to be from a comet entering our solar system. That's an important piece of information. This thing is not within our solar system, but entering our solar system from deep space. And, of course, this huge brown dwarf star, which has been named Planet X by the astronomers of the world, but specifically by Percival Lowell, a famous astronomer who constructed the Lowell Observatory in Arizona. This Planet X is not a sci-fi science fiction name, but it's a real name adopted by the astronomical community.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to interject by stating I got a friend in Wisconsin that says that, look, we don't need a life-extinguishing event by Planet X, because this Gulf oil mega-disaster will cause a life-extinguishing event. Well, what you might not realize is that this is being caused by Planet X. That's what I believe.
Well, you're right. I mean, this person thinks that this disaster will not be the end of the world, the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, it'll be devastating. But if this person and other people do not connect it with the disasters to come, then a lot of people are going to be killed because they're not forewarned. And the forewarning requires knowledge of these coming events, requires that we become prepared, primarily spiritually prepared. And we have to look to God, our Creator, who can be our Savior also. If we call upon Him to be our Savior. But of course, secondarily, we have to prepare physically. For example, people who live on the East Coast. I live on the East Coast. I'm about 30 miles due west of New York City. And my wife and I are not. My wife would never sell the house, and I guess I could never leave them. But still, I can be prepared to flee when I see dangers rising. You know,
hey, John,
you call it grab and run back. Yes.
Well, as far as the
preparation, guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network. It's live show number 12, Saturday night, June 12th, 2010. We're going to go back to John DiNardo here. We had finished before we got cut off at the break. He was just starting to get into what we can do to prepare. Hey, John, you might want to mention about how folks can buy sardines and things like that that you've been telling me about.
I would expect that pretty soon you will not be able to buy canned sardines or canned salmon anymore, because all the oceans of the world will be contaminated with oil and other substances. So I would recommend that people buy canned sardines and canned salmon. Those are two of the most nutritious, nutrient-dense foods you can get, containing not only complete protein, but the omega fatty acids that are so essential. Also, grains. I look for amaranth. You can get it through a company called Shiloh Farms. You know, I just mentioned that because that's where I found it. But you can get any brand, Arrowhead Mills or whatever. There are a number of them that have what is called a grain from South America called amaranth, A-M-A-R-A-N-T-H. It has I believe complete protein. It's one of the few grains that has a very high complete protein content. Of course, there are other grains too, grains and legumes that people should stock up on. They're very cheap. You go to your supermarket, you'll find these bags of split peas and dried split peas and dried lentils for like under a dollar a bag. Now they're getting maybe a little bit over a dollar, but it's still very cheap. In addition, there are also bags of barley made by the same manufacturers. When you combine lentils, split peas, and barley, and then maybe some other grains, you've got complete protein. In the Bible, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4, verse 9, God tells you the various grains and legumes that can be combined together to sustain life. That is millet, spelt, wheat, lentils, and beans. So you get these things and stock up on them. They can be soaked, and after soaking overnight, then much less fuel is needed to cook them.
Well, what were you telling me about the Canada thing, that you can't get tuna or sardines out of Canada anymore, or it's toxic?
Well, I mean, not Canada. Canada is relatively pure. You know, Canadian waters, Alaskan waters are still relatively clean because they're far away from the populated areas. What happened was there was the Bumblebee brand sardines. I was buying those 10 cans for $10. And I would make sure that I would look on the can, and they always said product of Canada, these Bumblebee sardines. And then just last week I went to buy some, the same can, it looked identical. but it, instead of saying product of Canada, it said product of Poland. I would not buy any sardines from Poland, nor any sardines from Morocco. Those are coming, those come from polluted waters. Morocco would be the polluted Mediterranean Sea, and from Poland it would be the polluted Baltic Sea. So I look for sardines and salmon from either Alaska or Canada. So those are survival things that are very important because, you know, food, obviously, that's what we need to sustain ourselves, and there will be disruptions in the food supply. And we've heard this often, too, from many people. We should really take it to heart and start working diligently. And that is that during the Great Depression of the 1930s, many people were knowledgeable and experienced in home gardening. Yet, many millions of people still starved to death during the Depression. Now, today, we have very few people experienced and knowledgeable and equipped with seeds to do home gardening. So we can expect to see many more millions die of starvation when the food supplies are disrupted. Remember, when you have the massive birth disasters that we know are happening, because we have mountainous evidence from a great diversity of sources, all converging together to pointing to the fact that earth disasters are coming. I will go into, basically give you a list of the headline bulletins of information, of evidence. Because of the limitations on time, we have to give you headlines. But what I'm saying is that we have such a great diversity of evidence indicating that we're going to see global disasters like earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, which we're seeing already in Iceland. It was a tremendous volcanic eruption. I don't know what the status of that eruption is right now, but you can expect it to get to intensify. So what happens, therefore, is agriculture is stifled. You have earthquakes disrupting and breaking oil pipelines, gas pipelines, electric utility lines, telephone lines, cell sites, communications links, everything. And our society is so fragile and so interconnected with various technological components such as computers, power, electrical power, that one little glitch, one little failure in one link in that complex matrix of links and webs, one little failure will cause a complete failure of the entire web, the entire system. For example, food. Everything is barcoded. Everything is computerized. When those computers go, they have no knowledge of how to order or cannot even place orders because everything is automated. And you take it further with the gasoline, gas pumps, etc. So you can see that we are going to have to prepare ourselves now. And if a person is doubtful as to this eventuality, this disastrous eventuality, all they need to do is prepare anyway, because look, you can still eat the sardines. They're not going to go to waste. You'll be able to eat the sardines, the salmon, the grains, the legumes. All of that will be good food that is very nutritious, which you should be eating now anyway. But let me give you a little background, some information that came to mind. Edgar Cayce was a great prophet. It's just incredible what this man did. And he must have gotten his power somehow from God. And I'll explain to you why I say that. Edgar Cayce would go into a trance. And in that trance, he had no knowledge of what he was saying. But everything he said was recorded by his wife and his secretary. And over a period of years, he did what were called readings, thousands and thousands of readings, which are all archived now at the Association for Research and Enlightenment at Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's like a huge library. In those readings, he would actually get letters from people who were dying, or people's relatives of those people who were very ill, gravely ill, because no one could help them medically. And he, without ever meeting that person, he would actually go in his mind, in his trance, through the roots to their dwelling, where they lived, in their city, in their street, and in their particular house. And he would describe where he was going down the street into the house, up to the second floor where that patient or victim was living. And then he would, in his mind, at a great distance, perhaps many hundreds of miles away from that person, he would go into the person's body in his mind and explain what he saw in the various organs of the body, and then he would get to the disease, the heart of the disease, and explain what was wrong. There was one case, for example, where a woman had a lesion on her leg which was festering and getting worse and worse to the point where they were considering amputating her leg. And he had determined that it was the pup from the bite of a tiny brown spider, and that was probably the brown recluse spider. Everybody should look that up on the internet and find out what that spider looks like. Try to avoid it, or, you know, kill it if you see it, because this spider can eventually has a poison that will cause tremendous destruction to the body, to the lesions, which spread throughout to the point where it's a ghastly wound, and the limb or finger, leg or whatever has to be amputated. Well, anyway, he prescribed a remedy for it. He called it oil of smoke, which I suspect was oil of oregano. And indeed, it did cure the woman's lesion. Well, this is the kind of thing Edgar Cayce did, and he got his inspiration. Must have come from God, because who else could have gone traveling through time and space to someone whom he had never met? Only God could do that. Well, I'm not saying he was God, but he had the power of God. Well, the reason I go through all this to explain to you about Edgar Cayce is that Edgar Cayce also, in his trances, unbeknownst to him, consciously, here's some of the things he stated. He said that San Francisco and Los Angeles will be destroyed before New York. In other words, New York will be destroyed also. He talked about the earthquakes occurring in the Carolinas, I believe, preceding the one in New York. So we should be looking for these kinds of events, looking for swarms of earthquakes occurring in California. He also mentioned that, I believe, when Mount Vesuvius and Mount Pelee, Mount Vesuvius in Italy or Mount Pelee in the Caribbean, I believe, either one of those begin to erupt, you can expect soon thereafter the big earthquakes in California. Psychics, many people, even scientists, are putting a lot of credence in what psychics have stated, especially Edgar Cayce. Now, he was way ahead of his time. He said this would happen in the 20th century. Well, it hasn't happened. Many psychics have this peculiarity where they predict things, but it's always well in advance of the actual occurrence.
Hey, John?
One other thing he stated was the pole shift. Yes?
Well, I wanted to interject by stating that I remember former Homeland Defense Secretary Michael Chertoff was visiting New York City 3 or 4 years ago and warned those residents to be prepared for a Category 2 or a Category 3 hurricane. Maybe what they were really trying to tell us were forthcoming tsunamis to hit New York City.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his intention was. I mean, there could very well be a hurricane, and I can understand warning about it. It's a possibility. It's happened before in the Northeast. But Chertoff aside, we know now this. We know that there was a. Well, again, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm a bearer of bad news. The only good news I can give you, of course, is your spiritual preparation and your physical preparation. Not wanting to be a bearer of bad news, I have to tell you what the Discovery Channel and actually it was the British Broadcasting Company passed on their documentary to the Discovery Channel, and on numerous occasions they broadcast it. It seems to me they did it so frequently because they were trying to warn people that the Cumbre Vieja, a volcano on the island of La Palma, in the Canary Island chain off the west coast of Africa, that's in the western Atlantic Ocean, of course. That island has been dislodged, where the entire western flank of that island has been dislodged at a margin of a gap between it and the mountain proper has existed a gap of about 12 feet, a margin of 12 feet, separating the western flank, which these scientists at stationed from England, stationed at the island, estimate the weight of this western flank to be 0.5 trillion tons. That's 500 billion tons. And the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland, have done very careful studies and found out that when this flank slides into the Atlantic Ocean, it will create a landslide-driven tsunami. Incidentally, landslide-driven tsunamis are much higher in amplitude than undersea earthquake-driven tsunamis because they punch through the water. There was one at the Latoya Bay in Alaska back in the 1950s, witnessed by a man and his son. I have it on Mega Tsunami video that I recorded from the Discovery Channel. The title is Mega Tsunami. You should look that up. It'll tell you all about these landslide-driven tsunamis. And, well, anyway, suffice it to say that their amplitude is much, much greater than the amplitude of the wave is much greater than the undersea earthquake-driven tsunami.
Hey, John?
Yes?
I'm sorry I have to keep interrupting you, but you're always bringing a thought to my mind. I'd like you to tell the audience about the downgrade of the Richter scale that John Moore talks about so they they can understand that a little better.
Oh, yeah. John Moore is right. They have to downgraded it. Now, there's another piece of evidence. It's a big, very glaring piece of evidence that the power elite, the government, the people in power know all about this Planet X, and they don't want to panic the people. This evidence is, as John Moore says, that they downgraded it by one full point. Now, one full point means if you go from, say, a 6.0 to 6.1, double the increase, double the magnitude. 6.2 would be triple. 6.1 would be 100% increase. 6.2 would be 200% increase, etc. You get all the way up to 6.9, that would be 900% increase. 7.0 would be 1,000% increase, 10 times the magnitude, 10 times the intensity. So by downgrading it for one full point, you've made the earthquake seem to be, not really, but made it seem in the public's eyes when you report it, to be one-tenth of what it really is in intensity. Well, they've even distorted it further, falsified the reading, the scale, even further now. I got a report during the Chilean earthquake, the morning of that Chilean earthquake. I figured it might be wise to videotape some of the major broadcasts. And everybody was, you know, it was the big news at the moment. That Chilean earthquake, I believe, occurred a few months ago, and it was like 7 point, very large, 7.7 or 8, whatever. Well, they happened to, one of the guys in Fox News had a USGS geologist on there. And this Fox News guy was saying, do you know that if you go one full point up, traverse one full point on the new scale, which I believe is modified Mercalli scale, if you go one full point, you got an 88 times range, 88 times the intensity from, you know, say a 6.0 to a 7.0. 88 times, that's, you know, with the case of the Richter scale being downgraded by one point, represents a 10 times falsification. But here, with the modified Mercalli scale, you got an 88 times falsification, making it seem 88 times milder than it actually is. It's a joke. The Mercalli scale is a joke. I read about it on Wikipedia. I have to go back and read it again. They call it the modified Mercalli scale. I've got to verify this.
I actually think it's called something else, but, you know, you're pretty close to the point we're trying to deliver to the audience here. One more thing, John. We only got 7 minutes left on the show. I really wanted to cover this. Can you tell the audience about the Shoemaker Levy 9 thing that his wife had actually discovered that back in 94?
Oh. Yeah, Carolyn Shoemaker, wife of famous geologist Eugene Shoemaker, They were at an observatory, and they were viewing Jupiter, and Carolyn happened to notice what she looked like, what looked like a squash comet crashing into Jupiter. And that was the famed discovery of the, what was later named the Shoemaker-Levy comet. Eugene Shoemaker had been giving many speeches to geologists, scientists around the world, and warning them about the threat of increasing numbers of comets and meteorites, bolide objects, will be soon striking Earth. And soon thereafter, Eugene Shoemaker died in an automobile accident in Australia. This is what happens to people who start talking about Planet X and about the dangers that are coming. Particularly, what happens, the people in danger are those who have high scientific credentials, such as Dr. Robert S. Harrington, chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory. Well, Eugene Shoemaker had a lot of credentials, and he was speaking before credentialed scientists. So they were afraid, I believe, that the power elite were afraid that these credentialed scientists, here listening to Eugene Shoemaker, might really spread the word of the threat of comets and many bolide objects striking Earth. You know, we go back to ancient times, so one other thing that has to be stated, and that is this, that we have evidence from ancient times that this comet, this very same brown dwarf star, now again, we have to point this out too. It's probably been estimated, because it's defined by many, many researchers as a brown dwarf star, its probable mass is probably like 1,000 times the mass of planet Earth. Okay, this brown dwarf star comes in periodically. So people in ancient times noticed, were devastated by this cometary intrusion. And because a comet has periodicity, a comet is like a bus traveling on a route. It comes by every so often at regular, predictable times. This comet has a very long period of about 3,600 years.
Hey, John?
If you go back 3,600 years, we have ancient records of this, and this is what some of the evidence that is really powerful. Yes?
I wanted to interject by stating that there's some people claiming to be seeing things on the other side of the sun. Is that the Wormwood/Nibiru object, something totally separate from Planet X that these people are seeing, or is that disinformation? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard those reports on the other side of the sun. I mean, there are many comets and celestial bodies encircling this huge brown dwarf star because it has such a great gravitational pull due to its tremendous mass that it captures many celestial objects while as it travels through deep space. So it's surrounded by what you might think of as a bee swarm around a beehive of huge celestial objects, many of which are comets. And a lot of comets have been seen striking the sun. So that's probably what we're talking about, what we've been hearing these reports about. But getting back to ancient times, we have some powerful evidence. If you study the great archaeologist Zechariah Sitchin in his landmark book titled The Twelfth Planet, he talks about what he has found from ancient records of the ancient Babylonians, the Egyptians, etc., who had witnessed the devastation. Few people survived it, but some of those survivors wrote about it historically. And there is an ancient document called the Ipuwer Papyrus, I-P-U-W-E-R, Papyrus, P-A-P-Y-R-U-S, which recounts all the disasters that people saw on Earth. They saw, first of all, the great inundations. This goes back to the inundations you can read about from Atlantis, from the ancient history of Atlantis, which was way back, probably estimated to be around 8,900 BC when this entire continent sunk beneath the waves. Some of the first signs that Zechariah Sitchin talks about as this comet is coming in, the first destructive signs are tremendous flooding, torrential downpours, and epic flooding, which we've been seeing. I've been documenting it on from the Weather Channel ever since 2004. We just had flash floods, incidentally, which is one case out of many. Very tragic flash flooding in Arkansas where 8 inches of rain fell in about an hour's time. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unprecedented. 8 inches of rain in an hour's time caused the river to swell up and flooded the banks, people along the banks of the river. Now we've seen these epic flooding in the, on the Mississippi River. We've seen it in Texas. We've seen it in Washington State, Oregon, even in Arizona. It's just all over the country. This is one of the first signs of this huge planet coming in.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Did you ever find out from your email list member, Rhonda, about this huge coronal hole in the sun that's supposed to throw some solar wind at us to reach us by June 16th?
Yeah, I spoke to her, but she said, well, it seems to be going away. However, I'm glad you mentioned that because there was a big this earthquake we just had in the Indian Ocean. We just mentioned it before. It was 7.7, and again, the lying U.S. Geological Survey downgraded it like they always do. They never upgrade an earthquake. Isn't it funny how they never upgrade it? They always downgrade them. But for years, they come out with an earthquake magnitude report, and then they downgrade it to reduce the public's concern. But anyway, this earthquake followed by 2 days. It followed a huge solar flare. And
John, show us what
you expect. Solar flares do cause earthquakes. This is very important to notice. When there's much solar activity, when you see solar flares, look for earthquakes to be occurring.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The big shot of the milliwatt. This is Micro 60.